Yeah. Good morning. It's Hot and Cold Saturday morning. Second show of the new year. New year is upon us. And okay, start right off the show with an apology. I had promised there would be videos up this week, and I have a good excuse. Maria does my videos. She's been out sick most of the week. So I've got videos. They're just not posted yet. So, and I'm not, she's the IT person. I'm not. So, you know, we have a delegation here. They are coming. And it will be next week. And we'll catch up. We will catch up. But my mea culpa, it's just one of those things. So, of course, I got the damn cold too. And I'm not happy about it. Because we closed on the house on Monday. I went over to the house. My wife and I went over to the house with power tools. And I started doing demolition. That's what I do. And I have to share with you. You know this if you have an old house and you live in the glorious state of Maine. How miserable plaster is when you're taking it down. It's just miserable. So on Tuesday, the dumpster arrived, excuse me, and I had him put it right next to the windows for the, where a lot of the demo on the first floor is going on. There's two bathrooms, one stacked over the other, and both have to be renovated. So I don't know, about two thirds through in the demo, I had to stop just because I was coughing and my nose was running and I was just miserable. So I got a little bit on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I had to take Thursday, Friday and do other things that didn't involve dust and dirt, even though I wear a mask. I mean, it's hard to wear a mask if your nose is running. I just found that, you know, you learn these things. So I've been doing other stuff, and there's a lot of stuff to do. It's in the early stages here, it's attention deficit extravaganza for me because there's just so much to do. And you bounce around from one thing to the other. And the good news was when I was doing the demo, if I needed to take a break, I could go do something that wasn't dusty. So it's a ongoing saga. Before I forget, this is more important than anything I just spoke about. Roads are weird this morning. Anticipate if you're going, it says it's 39 degrees at my house in Bangor, and it is, but the roads are really slippery because there's still frost in the ground. So be careful driving around. There's going to be accidents, and I would prefer you not be one of them. So please be careful if you're traveling this morning. Good reason to stay in and wait for the sun to come out and thaw everything. You got nothing else to do. Sit by the radio, just like the good old days, and be warmed by my voice. And God, what's that all about, Tom? As I've been demoing, I knew I had to change out the drains. And primary drains for the two bathrooms are still black iron. And I knew there was a leak on the second floor bathroom, and I anticipated it was a black iron drain pipe. And my anticipation was correct. It's a 2-inch line that comes from a sink to the main drain, and I found it's got a rust hole. So, I anticipated it. I found it. No big deal. But there was a chase in the second floor bathroom. It goes up to the attic for the vent. Excuse me. Above the water line, so to speak. It's just a vent pipe. And I opened up that chase yesterday because I have to get up into the attic with the PVC we'll be replacing with. And found some really nice big hole in the 4-inch elbows that were in the vicinity there. And, it's venting septic tank gas into the house, except here's the blessing of an old house. It's so leaky, it didn't matter. It was in the chase, and I'm sure it went right up to chase naturally into the attic and dissipated. So, there is a blessing to drafty old houses. Speaking of which, I think it was Tuesday. Tuesday morning, we got a whole bunch of stuff, and not the least of which was 6 cans of foam. And I went down the basement to fill the holes where I could see daylight because we just got our first estimate on spray foam yesterday for the basement walls, and we got another one or two coming in. But in the meantime, there's all this cold air coming in the basement. So I went around and started foaming, and I had noticed on the driveway side, there were two holes that went through sill board that were the fill for the oil tank when there was oil. And I didn't pay much attention. I thought, they blocked those off. That's what they did. I go down in the basement. I'm foaming cracks that I see, and I get to where those pipes came through, and I'm looking outside. It's a great peephole. And it was about 3 inches in diameter because in the old days they made big holes in the and they were just open to the basement. How does something not freeze in this house? I am in awe. So obviously that got foamed. And I'm into a couple cans, and I spotted a few more spots that I was downstairs doing some plumbing, but I've got to go down there. I picked up you can never – old house, you can never have enough canned foam. That's my rule. And in the attic, I've got to take up some floorboards and start looking at all the holes that come up through. There is cellulose up there. I peeked in between some floorboards. Did I say there was cellulose? because where I peeked in, there was none. I could see remnants. I don't know if it blew around because there's maybe so much wind coming up through the house. It's going to be interesting. Anyway, we're going to take a break. Lots to talk about, a lot of old house stuff. And next week we'll have video to go with this. But and I blame Maria. She had to go get sick, and then she had to let me go get sick. That's not right. I mean, you know, I'm an old man. All right. We'll be right back.
Running wild, lost control. Running wild, mighty bold. Feeling gay, reckless too. Carefree mind all the time, never blue. Always going, don't know where. Always showing I don't care. Don't love nobody, it's not worthwhile. All alone, I'm running wild.
All right, back. It's 8:18. It is hot. It is the hot and the cold. And phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478 if you want to message in this morning. And once again, I apologize on the video thing. We will be caught up next week. And there'll be lots. I tell you, there's lots to see. You will be impressed. Well, maybe you won't be impressed. Oh, God. What was I thinking? I don't know. So as I mentioned, we've got to change out all the drain. Well, we don't have to change out all drain pipes, but we have to replumb the two bathrooms partially. There is some PVC in there, but we need to cut out all the black iron or cast iron. Excuse me, and excuse me. We'll replumb that with PVC, and it's a trade-off. You know, the beauty of cast iron pipe is it's quiet. It's dense, it's heavy. Pete's very upset about this. He says, oh, how are we going to get this out? Well, it's very well secured, so we can do it in small segments, and it won't be a big deal. But the we're replacing it with PVC. It's a trade-off because the black iron is quieter, but the PVC ain't going to corrode. So I'm going with PVC. I'll accept a little bit of water noise if somebody flushes the toilet, in lieu of having a corrosion issue and having to take a ceiling down, which is something I'm doing now. So that's good, I guess, except the cost of PVC has gone crazy. And you know, it seems to me that as if there was a PVC plant that blew up how many years ago down in Louisiana, I think, and they said, well, the price of PVC is going to skyrocket. And it did. But I have a feeling that that plant has been repaired and is back online, and there's no scarcity of PVC at this point. But guess what? I just went to Home Depot this morning and grabbed some fittings, and the cost was stupid. And it isn't just Home Depot. It's just stupid generally. But I needed the fittings, so got them. And, you know, it is good to work with. I don't even want to think about what what cast iron costs, or black iron for that matter. Anything. Forget about, you know. I do have a lot of I got a lot of PEX tubing. I don't know what I was thinking, But yesterday, being as I wasn't doing demo work, I was flitting around, moving stuff, getting stuff organized, putting together things that I need to put together. And we're replumbing all the domestic water, the hot and cold, with PEX tubing. And so I go down to the basement, which is, this is a big, it's a big basement. The house is moderate size, I would say. But it's a big basement, and the tubing or the piping goes from front to back, as one would anticipate in an old house would do. And the what they did in this basement that was riddled with holes, there was some pipe insulation, you know, foam pipe insulation. But a lot of the pipe is wrapped with fiberglass. Somebody took fiberglass mats, and this was something that I guess we did before we had regular pipe insulation readily available. And that's just a mess. Obviously, it doesn't stay over time. It might get wet. It might it sags. It doesn't do a good job, but it doesn't appear to have frozen anywhere. So how terrible can it be? But all that's got to come out. And so I went down there yesterday with a recip saw. I wanted to get – I presently have no water running in the house. We have no facility for any drains. So the first thing I will get hooked up is a utility sink in what would be, I guess, the laundry room. So we have some running water hooked to a drain. So I needed a couple of bits for that. I've got that. But I also needed then to cut out a lot of stuff that's in the way and get a transition from the copper that comes in from the the town to PEX. And I had all the manifolds and shutoffs and stuff. So I make my own manifolds up. You can buy them pre-made. But the pre-made ones are mostly plastic. There's some that are you can get that are copper with shutoffs on them, and they're not cheap. So what I do is I buy the manifolds. It's a copper manifold that transitioned to PEX. It's got branches that are PEX. And then I buy the ball valves, which are separate from the manifold. So it's sort of a little bit more modular. If something breaks, I can cut out a ball valve and put a new ball valve in if it stopped working properly. At any rate, so I put together the cold water manifold yesterday. And I've got, I think, 14 branches, two bathrooms, with enough room for hookup to outdoor faucets and stuff. And I got that put in. And I went down, but before I did that, I went down there with a recip saw and just started ripping and thrashing, making sure I was cutting the right lines, because there are some heating lines that are half inch. And, I don't really want to cut in the heating system in January in Maine, and didn't. So I'm ready to get the laundry sink hooked up. It'd be nice to have some running water. It'd be nice to have a toilet, too. But fortunately, I don't live that far away. If we need to use the bathroom, we can go. So I can either go to work or go home. But so that's I think some progress. And I thought I had a lot of ball valves kicking around, PEX crimp ball valves kicking around. You know, I had a pile of them. Well, what am I going to do with all those? I better buy a house so I can replumb it. And I used them all. I think I've got two left, two ball valves. So I had to order more ball valves because I haven't done the hot water side yet. So that'll be when the ball valves come in, I guess. And in the process of all this, it was kind of an interesting thing. I was told, and I could see when I bought the house, electric water heater, said under disclosure, electric water heater, didn't think twice about it. Got a separate condensing gas boiler for space heat. Okay, I'm looking at that. There it is. So, yeah. So I'm down there in the basement yesterday, and I'm cutting pipes and putting the manifold in, and there's a water line that goes to the boiler. And is that an automatic fill line? You know, is that the fill to the system? And so it was tied into the domestic cold water side. So I'm looking at the hookup, and it's going into a mixing valve, an anti-scald valve. And I'm kind of puzzled by this because did they do something different? Are you using an anti-scald valve? Now, this is getting a little wonky for anybody who doesn't know anything about heating or plumbing. But I'm looking at it, I'm like, wait a minute. Did they use anti-scald valve for some kind of fill mechanism? What? Anyway, I hooked it back up. It was off. I just hooked it up to the manifold because it was there. And for some reason, it was hooked up to domestic water. And I went home, and I pulled up the manual for the boiler online and just to see, was there a recommended plumbing scheme here that I missed? And there kind of was, in that the boiler has a domestic coil in it that nobody told me about. And so apparently you can draw domestic hot water off the boiler in the winter, which obviously that's, you know, a no-brainer. And then the electric water heater, I guess, is for summertime. But I've got to go back and look at the rest of the system again. But fortunately, I was able to pull up the manual, and I'm scrolling down through, and then I see a schematic with an anti-scald valve and a water feed into it, exactly like I just looked at the house. And I'm like, Tom, duh, this is set up for hot water. And in the moment, I'm in the basement, you know, it's a dirt floor, it's dark, waiting for bats to come fly around. I haven't seen any bats or any other critters, by the way. But it's only a matter of time. So at any rate, that was the big stride for the day, I guess, that and discovering the rotted out fitting on the second floor, or rotted out fittings, drain fittings. So I spent $150 on PVC fittings this morning, and I know I don't have enough. I'll be hitting Hammond Lumber later today to get more. I don't even want to think about when I buy the 4-inch PVC 10-foot chunks of pipe, how much that's going to cost. That's going to be fun. But it's only money. What are you going to do with the money? You're going to go out to eat? I mean, you know, what happens after you go out to eat with that food? You know. It's in the drains. Hey, we got to take a break. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning. It is 8:30. We'll be back in a bit.
Took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off of his back. The monkey grabbed his neck and said, now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Now ain't no use in jiving. What's the use in jiving? Straighten up and fly right.
The biggest show in town is Huckleberry Hound for all you guys and gals. The biggest clown in town is Huckleberry Hound with all his fun to have. It's Huckleberry fun, it's for everyone. So come on, gather round. Get yourself all set. Turn up your TV set for Huckleberry Hound. That oh so merry Huckleberry.
And that's one of those things that just keeps rolling around in my vacant head. Aside from that, here's somebody who I know does not remember that TV show. It's Chelsea over at Bangor, UMaine. You're too young.
I think I might be. I think I might be.
Maybe your parents or grandparents remember that, but
possibly, yeah, yeah, possibly. I unfortunately do not, but I know a lot about dogs. I can tell you that.
And I'm looking at them right here, boy.
Yeah, aren't they cute?
Yeah, which one are you going to talk about today?
We're going to talk about Sprinkles the dog.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. She is a cutie. So she is a mixed breed, and you can go right to our website, BangorHumane.org, to see all of her adorable photos. She is 5 years old, and she is a sweet treat of a dog with just the right amount of sugar and a whole lot of fun mixed in. Even at 5 year old, she is still bursting with puppy energy, and she has extra wiggles just for you. One look at her happy dance and you'll be smiling ear to ear. She loves to have zoomies. If you don't know what zoomies are, definitely do your research. It's pretty great, especially in the snow. Snow zoomies are the best zoomies. She is a social girl who loves being around people, and she thrives on attention. She has had positive interactions with other dogs here at the shelter, and any canine siblings in the home would have to come and meet her prior to adoption to ensure everybody's happy. And we don't have a whole lot of history on her living with cats, so just kind of doing the slow positive introductions and giving them lots of space to call their own. Now you can come on down today, bring all the humans in the home as well, and if you have dogs as well, you can bring them along, and we would love to see you and find Miss Sprinkles, her forever family. She is great.
I got a question. I'm looking at the pictures here. I'm looking at picture number two.
Yeah.
How was she still long enough to be able to take that photo? That's a great photo, by the way.
You know, we worked some magic that day. I was there. We had a wonderful photographer come in, and lots of treats. Lots of treats.
It works for me.
She's so great. She just loves attention, and she's just wonderful. And I don't know why she's still here. She's got to get out of here. She's got to go home. She's ready.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the photos reflect everything you just told us. Mm-hmm. Take a look at the photos if you had any question about this dog. This is the happy dance dog. I can see, you know, she's smiling in all the photos. So.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
She loves to smile ear to ear, like you said.
Yeah, she's not a big dog either. She's 31 pounds, medium size. That's a good size dog. So, all right. And you open at 1 today?
Yes, we do. Yep.
1 to 6. And right over there on Mount Hope Avenue, it is worth the trip, especially to see Sprinkles.
Yeah, and we've got lots of other friends, too. So
Keep an eye out. I was looking. I'm... they're all beautiful dogs. Jasmine is, Gunner, Moose, and Midas. And I'm sure you got a few more kicking around that are not on the website.
Soon. We'll have more soon.
Cool. All right. Well, Chelsea, thank you for taking the time. It's always good to talk to you. Well, Happy New Year. And
Happy New Year.
Let's get some dogs moving. And cats.
Agreed.
Okay. Thanks.
Yes. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
All right, so do that there. There we go. I can stop. Oh, man. I tell you what. I'm looking at the dogs this morning, and I'm like, wow. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Morning, Tom.
Hey.
My dryer, I have a electric dryer, and this bad boy's, you know, on its last leg. Thinking about would a gas dryer be a better option than electric at this point?
I think you probably would. A gas dryer may heat up a little bit faster. I'm not and this is just personal bias because that's the only thing I can call it. I'm not crazy about gas dryers or gas stoves. Some people love them for cooking. But I like electric. It's simpler to me. And usually you pay a little bit more for the gas appliance anyway. I would hang with electric. But that's my, like I say, my personal bias. Somebody out there probably would say something completely different. But that's where I am. Any of these machines do need to be vacuumed out. They, you know, obviously lint gets into them. So it, it, And you know, the thing that I find interesting and easier with the electric dryer is it's easy enough to pull it away from the wall, disconnect the vent, and vacuum inside the machine as far as you can get without having to screw around with a gas line.
Yep.
Which to me is just a positive. So.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
All right. You take care. Like I say, it's my bias. I've got gas appliances in the house. Actually, there's an electric dryer there, which we're replacing with a new one. The gas stove, which I'm giving away. And we'll be putting in an electric stove when the time comes, when the kitchen is done. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. The kitchens, it's almost fun putting in the kitchens. Here's the thing. In the kitchen, I got one cabinet left that I didn't take out yet, and there's a soffit I got to remove. You live in Maine, you get into old houses, and there's always something boogered up. And one of the things in the kitchen is somebody put paneling on some walls and then skimmed it out to make it look like plaster. And it's lumpy. It's not flat skim. It's like got little waves almost of plaster. And so all that is going to come off, and we'll put new drywall up. And the blessing is in this particular room, there is an outside wall that has no saving grace. It's all been boogered up. It's got the paneling. And it's not full sheets. It's just pieces. And the soffit is coming out. So the paneling's coming off. Soffit's coming out. 2 inches of foam is going over that outside wall. And then drywall. And then the cabinets. So that's the plan. And any outside wall, and this is in an L area, that's accessible to me, that doesn't already have really nice details, same deal. It's going to get 2 inches of foam on the inside and some drywall. Let's go over to line 2. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, got an interesting little situation I'd run by you.
Okay.
Renovated a place, old farmhouse back 2010. Mm. Got rid of all the old plumbing. And, I mean, it's total restoration.
Mm-hmm.
Put in PEX tubing.
Yeah.
And developed a leak up in the ceiling.
Ooh.
So I'm going, what? Well, after tearing out the sheetrock, and there was a mouse had chewed into the PEX tubing.
Wow.
You've ever heard of such a thing?
I have not.
Now I'm thinking, okay, one additional thing to consider.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bunch of tubing that you use for radiant floor, mm-hmm. the half-inch stuff.
Yeah.
So I said, well, yeah, same size. So I used it. Mm-hmm. Do you think that is more susceptible to the little vermins, or what do you think?
No, I don't think so. The difference between the two is there's a oxygen barrier on the outside of the radiant floor tubing. That shouldn't have, I don't think there's anything appealing to critters for that. I think you're dealing with kind of a fluky one-off situation.
I hope so.
Yeah, I do too. Oh,
man.
Oh, that must have made your day. I mean, you know,
I loved it.
The whole idea is to have something that's not going to corrode. Critters can chew into anything. That's a killer, but there's no reason for that. I can perceive, it's not like car wiring. A lot of car wiring, and it's all, not all, probably most brands, if not all brands, got into this thing where they said, well, we're going to be environmentally friendly. We're going to mix some soy oil in with the oil we use to make, why? Why bother? It's already plastic. It is, the critters chew on it. So,
I've experienced a lot of that too.
Yeah, yeah. So, but the I don't think there's no issue that I'm aware of.
Okay, well, I couldn't believe it myself. And it supplied the upstairs bathroom.
Mm.
So I shut it off, and so I stopped the leak, and, you know, it was a week, 10 days probably before I decided to tackle it.
Yeah.
So when I turned it back on, it was a gusher.
Oh, they kept chewing on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Jeez.
So we've declared war on them, and we've trapped a bunch of the little biggers.
Yeah.
I think I got them all. I replaced the door that went out in the garage, that the sill, the bottom plate was busted because I hit it with a bulldozer. So, I guess they colonized in there.
Yeah.
I think I got them, but boy,
yeah.
I've laid in bed and thinking and thought about this a little bit, going, I hope that don't happen again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, you're on the right track. You just got to try to exclude them from inside the house. They need to have their own houses, not our house.
Yeah, outside.
Yeah. All right.
All right, well, I appreciate it, man.
Okay,
see you
good
later.
Luck. Thanks. Bye-bye. Right. Yeah, wow. That happened. You know, I believe I have some squirrels in one of the attics, and as soon as I can safely get them out, I will. I haven't seen any critter activity anywhere else in the house. I'll assume there's critters somewhere, and we'll do my darndest, as you can imagine, to exclude them. But it's I've not heard of that, but it's not a surprise. I mean, critters. I remember when back when I was in forestry school, I think it was wildlife biology. I had to take a wildlife biology class, and they had a whole bunch of skulls, starting from a mouse skull up to, I don't know, a beaver skull. All of these, and I'm not sure they were all, but generically, they're all rodents. And they have those two front teeth that just have to chew on something, or they keep growing. And it could be something as innocent as, well, we need to chew on something. This plastic is pretty good stuff. But it does happen, unfortunately. The good news is PECs can be relatively simple to repair, except for the fact that the drywall and the rest of it's a pain. But and just to explain a little bit of what I'm doing in terms of plumbing, we're doing a manifold system. And some people call it a home run system. And what that means is, because PEX tubing is relatively inexpensive, I'm running a single line from that manifold with a shutoff to each fixture. So I've got one line going from the manifold directly to the toilet. I got one, this is now just cold water, one line going directly to the cold on the lavatory, one going to the bathtub cold, and then I'll have a hot line as well. And I've got them color-coded, so blue will be for cold, red will be for hot. And if, God forbid, some little miscreant varmint chews into a line, I can at least isolate that line, or I could diagnose it and shut it down till I can get to it, which I would not be happy about, for sure. But and that's a decent way to do things. Now, if it was a really gigantic building, and this is not a small building, I might consider, you know, putting in tees and stuff. But the home run system has served me well over the years. It gives a little bit better balance flow through everything. So that's the plan. And I don't skimp on shutoff. So there's a shutoff at each manifold. And then, of course, under the sink, there's shutoffs. Or under the toilet, everywhere I can have a shutoff, I put a shutoff. So I can, let's say I have to replace a faucet, I can kill it down in the basement or upstairs and just isolate as much as I can. And if you buy them in quantity, which I usually do, they're quite reasonable. I think I'm paying a couple of bucks each for the for ball valves, half-inch ball valves. Let's see, mice chew PEX because they detect water. As a retired insurance adjuster, saw a few claims dealing with it. I'm not quite clear as how they detect the water through what is probably 3/32 of plastic, but I accept that. You're the guy who's looked at these. I'm not. Good morning, Tom. I found the easiest way to clean a dryer vent is to remove the hose from the dryer and use a leaf blower. Yeah, for going outside, but for inside, we want to be inside as well, vacuuming as much as we can reach from the from that connector into the unit. Let's see. We got a phone call on line two. We got time here. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Good.
Good. Hey, I was up by your place the other day, and I stopped by that place there that you recommend for the Italian place, and they weren't open.
Yeah, he's in Florida, I think, for the winter. I'm not sure where. He goes back and forth. I'm not sure where. He had some family things going on. So, and don't think I don't miss that.
Two questions.
Yeah.
What do you do? I'm really, I don't know for a better word, really nervous about these lithium batteries. I got power tools, and I separate the batteries from the power tools. I lay them in the middle of the garage on the floor when I'm not using them.
Yeah.
I don't want to blow my house down, like, you know.
Sure.
What would you recommend? Put them in a box somewhere and set them outside, or what?
No, I think they're pretty benign. The time there's going to be a problem with lithium batteries is when they're overcharged or undercharged. So okay. I don't have a problem leaving lithium batteries around, even in a tool, because they're off when they're in the tool. I do have an issue because I had the fire where the lithium battery was in the charger. If something malfunctions, the charger overheats, anything could happen. If it's not being charged, if it's not being discharged, I would say you're pretty safe. If you want to put them in the middle of a concrete floor, that's okay. I don't think you need to go beyond that. It's funny. I didn't make a note about this, but I came across a thing yesterday. A motorcycle company that makes electric motorcycles is coming out with a solid-state battery. This would be the first vehicle, I think, in the world that's using solid-state batteries. And the claim is it's a lifetime battery. It doesn't catch on fire. It has a lot of really pluses. I don't know what it costs, but I expect at some point we'll see that change, much the way our power tools went from nickel-cadmium to lithium ion, and unfortunately, we're still dealing with lithium ion batteries. But I think if you don't abuse the battery, if it's damaged or it's not receiving a charge properly, it's got to go. You don't screw around.
One other thing, quick.
Yeah.
Heat pumps.
Yeah.
The electricity is going out of sight. I was going to put an addition on, which I'm going to, and I was thinking about going with the heat pump, but now I'm not. But I'm listening to that LeBrec guy on the radio, and it sounds like it's not gonna be good for the heat pump people or even putting them in. So where what would you advise? Wood stove, pellet stove, kerosene, what?
Well, personally, I'm planning on putting in a wood stove in this house, and just because I want something that doesn't use electricity. But I also am going to put a heat pump in. I'm using – the current system uses propane. Propane ain't cheap. The heat pump will operate for less than that. The one thing that you can do, and not everybody, has a situation where you can do it, is if you're using photovoltaic solar, that displaces a lot of the electricity that the heat pump would use. But my experience thus far, because we have one I installed in our office, is it, and I'm not heating it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but my experience is it's pretty economical, even with the rate. I got no complaints, and I am so looking forward to having air conditioning that isn't stuck in the window.
Okay.
When that comes.
All right.
Okay.
All right. You have a good day. Thanks for your advice.
Okay, thanks. Yep. Take care. Let's see. I got time for this? Yeah. Not seeing your existing plumbing, I'm sure you're going to have to vent things differently in your house They make a test balloon that can screw right into a test tee, a lot easier than the old-style balloons for a rough inspection. Well, I'm not having a rough inspection because I'm just replacing. And most of what I'm doing is, you know, I've always found it fascinating that, and I guess in new construction, especially, it makes sense to pressure test the drain system. I'm going to be looking at the drain system, so I'm not too concerned about the fact that if something leaks, I'll find it. I got to take a break. We'll be right back.
My analyst told me
what?
That I was right out of my head the way he described it.
How?
He said I'd be better dead than live. I didn't listen to his jive. I knew all along he was all wrong, and I knew that he thought
what?
I was crazy, but I'm not. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
My analyst told me
what?
That I was right out of my head. He said I need treatment,
yeah.
But I'm not that easily led. He said I was the type that was most inclined, went out of his sight to be out of my mind. And he thought I was nuts. No more ifs, or ands, or buts. Oh, no.
It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning. Happy New Year, although last week was Happy New Year, but Happy New Year again because it's still the new year. And if you're out and about, be careful. The roads are slippery this morning. Even though it's 39 degrees where I am, they were slipping and sliding, and we don't want to have you have an accident. All right, Mr. Henry Mancini with the band, with the boys in the band right there. So, you know, for Christmas, I don't think it was a joke, and it turned out to be a great present. Pete gave me a heating pad, and I want to tell you, I have used it religiously all week. I think it was Tuesday. Let me backtrack a minute. We're demoing a bathroom, okay? Bathroom's got tile, and whoever put the tile in it it's been in for a while, and the substrate for the tile is a half inch of cement bedded into wire mesh, steel wire mesh, the good old overbuilt pre-cement board days. And it don't want to come out. It is solid. It was over drywall. Then they put the mesh into cement. So I had this one wall I took out. And I've got the studs are gone. The drywall is gone. Half inch of cement is still there. And it wasn't moving, and you can't cut it with a recip saw because it's cement. Excuse me, you could do it with a cutting, with a cutting disc, but I don't want to throw sparks around in an old house. Call me crazy, no. And at some point, and this was before my back started hurting really bad, I had brought the sledgehammer over, and I got, let's say I got miffed. A polite word for the radio. I was a bit miffed, and I just started wailing on that sucker. And Gosey triumphed. It fell. It all came down. Now, I've got another wall to do. I got two more areas of tile to come down. I'm so looking forward to it. I've had the blessing of having a cold here now for a couple days and taking a break. But this weekend, it's happening. The rest of it's coming down. Now, the part I took down is lying in the bathtub. And I still have to get it out the window. I've been putting everything out the window because the dumpster is right adjacent to these rooms. And yesterday I was working on the second floor bathroom. I did the first floor bathroom. I took the fixtures out. There was a lavatory sink there that went away. And that's no big deal. It was small. It was easy to handle. The toilet was a two-piece toilet. Took the tank off and tossed it out the window into the dumpster. And then I did something that I don't enjoy doing. And that is removing the bowl, the toilet bowl, from the floor. It's no big deal to disconnect. It's not a big deal disconnecting it. But now I've got to pick it up and get it out of the house. And the anxiety is that I'm going to spill water from the bowl everywhere. Every time I've done it, you could use a shop vac. And then I got a shop vac full of toilet water. Now, probably the water in the bowl is cleaner than what's in the tank, but I'm not going to do that. I'm Tom, and, I have issues. What can I tell you? So I picked up the bowl, had the window open, got it over, set it on the windowsill without spilling any water. And I don't understand why. It's just an old toilet, maybe. The trap in it was better, but... And I got it out the window into the dumpster. And I thought, this is a blessing. I don't have many blessings in my life, but this was one. So yesterday, I said, okay, let's get this toilet out of the upstairs bathroom. Same deal. Took the tank out. Now, I've been actually anticipating the joy that this would bring me because now I'm on the second floor. The dumpster's down below, two floors down. Ooh, I'm going to open the window, and I'm going to drop it out the window. So I first took the cover, the tank cover, as a test. I said, well, let's see what happens. Toss it out, and it actually landed in the dumpster intact. Well, it was a little anticlimactic, but it's okay. I accept that. So then I got the tank off, brought it out the window, down two stories, into the dumpster, and it doesn't break. Like, hey, I got the touch, man. So then I unhooked the bowl, brought that out, and again, no water spilled. I'm thinking, what a great day this is. I'm not spilling water in this house. I have to clean it all up. And I really should have had somebody videotaping the toilet going into the dumpster, but I didn't because I was by myself. And that did break to some degree. It didn't break a lot, but it broke enough that I felt somewhat fulfilled. Yeah. You got to take take enjoyment in life where you can get it. Let's see, we got a phone call, I think. Good morning, you're on the Voice of Maine. Hello? Nobody there. All right, so we can drop that. What did I do? There we go. Let's check the message machine at 601-207-4478. I got a message. I work at a laboratory animal science field and house about 10,000 mice in my facility. You're absolutely correct. They are chewing to keep their teeth from becoming malocluded. They're not detecting water through the pecs. Well, they may be maybe they're plumbing mice. Never thought of that. That could be. So last night, after I did all the plumbing yesterday afternoon for the manifold, I went home and ordered more ball valves. The other thing I needed was tube talons. You familiar with tube talon, what it is? It's a little hook, plastic hook with a nail, and you use that to hang PEX tubing in the basement or in a wall. And so I got online and I said, well, you know, let me check the box stores, see what they get for it. And they're like 30 cents each in the box stores. I could order them online for 10 cents each delivered. So guess what I got coming in the mail. Now, that's the one thing is coming in the mail, but I do have enough to get me going. Let's go over to the phones. The line one, good morning. Oh, that ain't going to work. Let's drop that one, go there. Line two, good. That works out real well. Try that again. 1-800-966-1039 is the magic number. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not bad, sir. Hey, Tom, when it comes time to buy or replace some batteries for my Power 2s, am I going to get in trouble going with a generic brand, or do I want to stick right with the name brand?
Oh, that's a, that is a good question. When we had the fire from the Ryobi battery overcharging and the recalled charger, so it wasn't the battery's fault, it was the charger's fault, I had some generic batteries. And the insurance company was ready to go and hit Ryobi for to subrogate the claim for the fire. And they asked me that question, do you have generic batteries? I said, yeah. And I wasn't sure if that was a generic battery in the charger or not. I don't think it was, because I kind of sussed it out. I've had reasonably good results with generic batteries, but I got to a point where I said, you know, I'm just going to stick with Ryobi. So next fire, maybe the insurance company can have fun.
It makes sense.
I haven't had any major issues though using either. So for what it's worth, let's see. We got to take a break. It's already time. Yeah, God, this guy talks a lot. We'll be right back. It is hot and cold, 9:16, Saturday morning. Sleep at the wheel right there, Saturday morning on the Hot and Cold Radio Show. You don't hear that other places. I have to disagree about the gas dryers. Had electric for 30 years, switched to gas when I built a new house after talking to several people who had gas. So they said they wouldn't have anything else. It's probably the best money saver you can make. Shuts off when moisture level sensed, the timer says to. Okay. Like I said, I have a bias against it. I like dealing with electric. It's me. What can I tell you? Let's see. One of the things that's unusual about this house that I haven't done any video on yet, but I will, is I just mentioned it earlier. They did some kind of stucco look on the walls, on a lot of the walls, too many of the damn walls. And I suspect it was because the walls are old plaster. And rather than skim them out, and maybe somebody thought this was an aesthetic choice, they, kind of went along and flipped like a trowel up a little bit. So there's a, like a, almost like a wave that sticks up, oh gosh, more than an eighth of an inch. And it's a look. It's in a, my wife looked it up because neither of us are very happy with it. It's an Italian thing. What can I tell you? My Italian half doesn't like it, nor does my Hungarian half. I do have a big drywall sander that hooks up to a shop vac. I will do a test to see if it's something that can be flattened out. I really don't want to I didn't even want to think about any alternative. It's either going to sand out or it's going to just get painted, and we're going to live with it. But it's somebody had an idea that that was a good thing. Unfortunately, it's not. Let's see. I changed the locks. That was a biggie. I got everything rekeyed. I have one more that I need to change out that's a little different, but everything has been changed out. We've got this house has a two-car garage that's more like a barn than a garage. First floor's garage. Second story, which is a barn and a lot of room. And ordered garage door openers to program. And I got thinking about it. I thought, you know, I have usually three different vehicles I use. And do I want three sets of garage door openers? Probably not. Two is adequate. There's two doors, so we're going to have two separate openers. I don't think you can get a twofer, but I haven't checked. But I found openers are pretty inexpensive and easily programmed. So I'll put them in the car I use most of the time, I guess, and then see if I want to get more. But I have a truck I normally use. That's where I have it right now because I am ferrying stuff to the garage, big, heavy stuff that can only go in the pickup truck and can back right up the door, hit the magic button. I don't know how you ever live without that. My shop, we don't have garage door openers. I'm the garage door opener. And there are days that you don't want to. It's good exercise, I guess. Speaking of exercise, you know, I've got the Apple Watch, and it counts your steps every day. Or actually, my phone does, not my watch. But one of my doctors said, oh, yeah, Tom, you know, you got to do 10,000 steps a day. I'm like, okay, yeah, I got nothing else to do. I'm going to march around for another hour after work. So the good news is in the past week, I'm pretty much there running around. I'm up and down stairs, back and forth, and I'm working indoors, so it's not cold out, and I'm getting my steps in, man. That's all I had to do was buy a house. These things just happen. Sometimes serendipity smiles upon you. Hey, the phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. Before the show this morning, being as my wife and I are both up at the same time on Saturday morning, and today it was like 3:30. And you know, she's packing and getting stuff ready and obviously going back and forth, moving stuff and doing things. And I had a couple things I wanted to run by her, and she's lamenting the quality of towels, bath towels. She just bought some new bath towels, and they're coming apart. And she says, well, one of the bath towels has tar on it. I wonder whose towel that is. And, you know, my question, of course, is where did you get into tar, dear? Let's go over to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yes, good morning, Tom.
Hi.
Got a plumbing question. My daughter just called me and said that she getting a smell. She thought it was through her toilet, but it's actually through her sink, which sits right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Sewer smell coming up through there.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a P-trap on it, and she uses it all the time, so there's water in the trap. Any idea what is causing that smell?
My first reaction would be that maybe the toilet got flushed and it pulled water out of the P-trap. I guess the thing to do would be to just run a little bit of water in the sink and see if the trap, you know, slow so the trap fills. Obviously, it won't take much, a half cup or something, and see if the smell goes away.
Yeah, no, she did that. She said the smell actually started 2 or 3 days ago, and it just got progressively worse and worse. But she said there is water in the trap. She's sure of that.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, like, the overflow openings on the inside of the sink, she's had to put tape over those. She said the smell's coming up through there also.
Huh. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Could it have anything to do with the vent pipe?
It could be. Although it's warm out now, sometimes vent pipes can freeze over from condensation freezing and restricting the hole. It could be that's plugged and it's pulling water out on occasion and allowing it to vent back through there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I guess I would try refilling it again and see if there may not be enough water in that trap to block the flow.
Okay.
Other than that, yeah, you know, without taking it apart, it's kind of hard to say. But there's not enough liquid in the trap. And if the vent pipe is plugged up, you flush the toilet, you don't have air coming in as the water slugs down through the drain pipe. So it's going to tend to pull the water that's in the traps out, and then you're going to get a smell. And it could be coming from the tub as well.
Okay.
But I would just refill those drains, run water into it and see if the smell goes away.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. I'll give her a call and tell her to try that.
Yeah. Good luck.
Okay, right. Tom. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Yeah, it's always fun when your daughter calls with a problem on Saturday morning first thing. Let's see. The laboratory has an overflow. A lavatory, it says laboratory, has an overflow, which it should. They smell over time. They do smell over time. They actually, a lot of time that could be the issue is that you have a lot of mildew and/or slime mold growing in the overflow. I've run into that, and the best solution I come up with is to try to get some bleach down into the overflow to knock that down and see if the smell goes away. That would certainly be another option. And that sounds like Pete's in the background, but we got to take a break, so he's just going to have to be patient and wait. And we'll be right back. You stay right there.
Well, how say you will when you won't? Say you do, baby, when you don't. Tell me, honey, how do you feel? Tell the truth now, is love real? But uh-huh.
right, we're back. Over on line three is a man with no hernia. That's Pete. Good morning, Pete.
Of all the Weird Al tracks to play,
that's the good one.
You chose Living with a Hernia.
What would you want me
do
to play?
Do you have a hernia? Oh, jeepers. I wasn't ready for the question. Hardware Store, Handy, Amish Paradise.
All right. Next week.
What else?
Next week. You get them.
Okay. Yeah. Any of his polka parties are pretty great.
Well, you know, I had that queued up. Food. I thought that's he's not going to get that if I play it. So I'm sorry. I misjudged you.
That's why you got to be careful. You know, you need something moved over there. You let me come do it. All right. You were over 10 years younger than you are now when you had a hernia.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah. So get this.
Okay.
Read a story. Buddy sent it to me. A military collector bought a tank on eBay for $37,000.
That's a good deal.
You collect military vehicles, right? And inside the tank, there was $2.5 million in gold bars.
Oh, my goodness.
Found them hidden in there.
Wow.
And I find every single thing about that article unfair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, everything about that just makes life is so unfair.
Yes.
Like, on every level, everything about that article is unfair to me. Like, dude buys a... let's start with he's a military vehicle collector. Unfair. I collect Star Wars toys. It's not the same.
No.
And then he's got $37,000 in play money. Also unfair.
Yeah.
Then he buys a tank on eBay. Unfair. Then he finds $2.5 million in gold bars inside the tank. What is this?
This is a sign that life is unfair, I think.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I'm getting that impression. So I'm a little salty this morning.
Okay. I really hadn't noticed the difference, but okay.
So what did I miss?
You haven't missed much. I've just been going over stuff. Boy, I want to tell you, what was our driveway like today? It was black ice all through Bangor.
The driveway's okay. I put some salt out yesterday. It's right in the sun, so it's...
Yeah.
But that's all right, because tonight it's going to snow. But it's going to stop snowing tomorrow, but then it's going to start snowing again tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So...
Welcome to
it'll
January.
It'll be ice again soon. No worries. Yeah.
Well, we've had, you know, like 4 years of reasonable winters, so I guess we got to pay the price at some point. I'm not happy about it, but...
No, we don't. I think we could just have 8 or 9 years, or 12, or 13.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Whatever rogue nation has got the weather weapon, they've queued it up this year. And there is one.
We had a car.
I just stunned you on that.
Yeah. We had a car that we picked up that had two control, fake controls, Velcroed to the dashboard.
No, we're not. We're not talking about that on the air.
A space laser? I can't talk about space lasers?
No, we're not talking about that on the air.
Okay. Well, it's too late. I already said it. Anyway, were really well made. You can buy these, and they used real hardware from the actual device. I don't know. Who knows?
Real toggle switches.
Real toggle
switches. Where do they find the money?
Really nice toggle switches. It's very, very nicely done. So, all right, I'll stop. That's that.
So someone's coming to get that big stove today.
Yeah.
That apparently everybody in the state wants.
Yeah. I should tell the story. We have in the house, we have an AGA stove. If you know what an AGA stove is, you know what it is. And it runs on propane, which I don't want. If it was a wood-burning AGA stove, I'd keep it probably. But it takes up a lot of room where it is. And I want a wood stove for when power goes out. I don't want to run propane at $3.41 a gallon where I could run firewood or scrap wood for free. So
I don't like gas.
I put the put it up for sale, and the first person who requested contacted me is actually buying it. They're coming up today from Southern Maine. But apparently, I don't know if I've underpriced it or it's just big demand, but I have had a ton of requests, interest.
Yep.
Now, I will juxtapose that against the free ad I have up where I have been stood up
twice, two
times
now. Free is a different beast.
I got old kitchen cabinets, and some appliances. It's all free. I just want it out. It's in the way. And first person wigged out on me. Second person apparently has wigged out on me. I have another person who was really almost belligerent that he should come yesterday to get it. I said, well, you know, I've got somebody supposedly coming. No response. So
I'd skip that one and go to the next one.
Well, we'll see. I will look at the responses I've gotten once again. I did have I won't even talk. No. If it doesn't happen, it's all going in the dumpster. That's what I got a dumpster for.
I'm putting it in the dumpster Monday.
Okay. Good deal. So
maybe not the white appliances, but the
The appliances are good. I mean, but I think they're going to go out by the side of the road. And first person who comes
right now, somebody's listening to this and they're getting all horny. Calm down. These aren't like cabinets that somebody just bought at Home Depot and then decided not to use. These are old and painted.
The good news is they're old. They're plywood.
They're solid.
They're quite solid. They need to be cleaned and they will take paint and will look decent. Better if you don't have cabinets, it's better than nothing. The appliances are not great. The refrigerator, actually a washer dryer and a gas stove, electric dryer, a Maytag old Maytag washer. Those all got to go.
Works.
Yeah. So. And anyway, so it goes. We'll see what happens. We'll report back next week. And you were down in the basement with me yesterday while I was plumbing. Wasn't that fun?
Yeah, it looks. Yeah. Did the phone guy measure?
He did. He went outside and measured. I gave him my email. He did not, because I have the floor plan all drawn out. Somebody else did
it. I'm sure they don't need it.
But he just wanted to do the perimeter so he could figure up what it's going to cost to spray foam the basement walls. I'm desperate to get that done. That'll make a big difference, I think, in the house. But the other place.
What about that one wall where there was a lot of runoff coming in?
That's what spray foam will block. and you know, I will have
I'm
to
not
get
sure
out.
That's how that works.
Well, I have to get out there and repoint, and there's some gutters got to be repaired too. But that's later.
When you have somebody doing the siding, you could have them do the gutters at the same time.
I had the house on Broadway. I had one area in the basement where water was leaking in. Wasn't tremendous, but it was a flow, a minor flow. And I had the spray foam kits, which are not the same as spray foam from a spray foam applicator who does this for a living.
Yeah.
And I said, well, let me see.
The mix isn't as even, correct?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
The mix is not as even, correct?
Right. And so I said, well, let me just spray foam this corner. I think I came out like a foot, foot and a half from the corner, either direction. And it pretty much stopped the water flow. And I took that as a good sign. So I'm curious to see what this would do. And you know, looking last night with the guy as I'm showing him the basement, there are some huge boulders below grade in that. And obviously those holes need to get filled with foam. But I'm looking forward to that. That'll be it should make a significant difference in terms of the heating space. But the other problem here, Pete, is you and I were up in the attic and we saw where the vent pipe comes up through. There was also, and I don't know what this is for. Maybe somebody out there can clue us in. Old houses in Maine have a about 2-inch diameter galvanized pipe that comes up. It's a vent for something. I don't know what. And it was right alongside the drain pipe vent, the 4-inch cast iron. And I removed that yesterday, as a matter of fact, that 2-inch line. And I can look up the chase where the two pipes were and can see the attic very clearly because there was nothing sealing around either pipe. And really that's... you know, when you hire somebody to do an insulating job, and granted, this was done a long time ago when nobody was paying attention to that kind of stuff, you really have to go up in the attic and seal around all those holes with can foam. And I did not do that yesterday because the vent pipe still has to come out. The 4-inch will go up into the attic with the PVC and transition to the cast iron where it goes through the roof. So I'm looking forward to that, and I'm sure you are too. And that's why I played Living with a Hernia, just for you.
Maybe the galvanized line was something to do with atmospheric pressure for an old water cistern or something like that.
It could be. It could have been a vent for that. That's a good idea.
Thank you.
There was an old cistern down in the basement.
Yeah.
So.
That's what I saw, and I deduced, I assessed from the bits of knowledge at hand.
Just from peripheral information, you came up with that. That's pretty good.
I certainly did. Yeah. Thank you.
Quite welcome.
Got any other riddles? I can solve them.
I did discover last night, and I had already told us on the radio, that the boiler, the gas boiler, has a domestic coil in it, which is not on right now. I was looking at an anti-scald valve on the boiler yesterday and puzzling, why is that there and what's it doing? It's tied to domestic water line. And I reconnected it because it had been tied, and I thought maybe it was a fill mechanism, which it's not. And pulled up the manual last night and found that it was actually, there's a domestic hookup, but they apparently left it off from the summertime when they use the electric water heater. So
now, after the heating season is over, are you planning on replacing the gas boiler, I assume?
No, I'm going to keep it for backup.
What's your primary heat going to be?
I think it's going to be air-to-water heat pump.
For that building?
For that building, yes.
You're very optimistic about how well you're going to get that thing insulated. Well insulated, it's a lot of space.
Well, it is, but a couple things are going to happen this summer. One, all the radiators will be set up with thermostatic controls, so we don't have to heat every room because we're not going to occupy every room, but we can maintain it at, say, 60 or something like that. We will certainly have more insulation than we have at this moment in time. And I already ran the heat load calculation for the building. As it sits right now, it's about 60,000 BTUs an hour. I can get a heat pump.
Is that good?
No. yes and no. I mean, it's not great.
I'm asking for the listening public that doesn't know what that number means.
It's not great. That's reasonably.
What's your current heat load where you are now?
Oh, it's probably around 15,000.
Okay, four times as much.
Yeah. So I can get a heat pump to carry that load. Obviously, I don't want to use that amount. Oh, somebody had messaged, and I'm just remembering now. They wanted to know where I got the heat pump that I put in the shop, or the office, excuse me. I got it at Home Depot. It's made by a company called Costway, which is some company like Temu that sells everything. And it was on sale for $7.26, I think. It's up to $8.26 again, which is what I paid for it. It's rated to 13 below Fahrenheit, and it derates as it gets that cold. You're not going to get the it's only 12,000 BTU an hour unit. So as it gets colder, it doesn't do as well. We found so far, I think, you tell me if I'm wrong, Pete, if we leave the unit on all night, say at 60, it is maintained at that temperature, and we could just turn it up, and it'll catch up pretty quick. If we turn it off, and the temperature drops down to, I don't know, 39, 46, something like that, it takes a while to catch up.
I've got it running right now. It was off last night,
and
it's—I would say it's comfortable in here. You would walk in and be like, "Oh, it's warm in here." It's not up to temperature, but it's warm. On nights where let's say a full weekend goes by where it's off overnight for a couple of days, and it's like 42, 43 degrees in here when I turn it on. If I were to go with just that to heat this space, it would probably be the afternoon before it was up to temperature. It would be a couple hours before it was comfortable.
Yeah,
catching up. So days like that, I'll just turn the pellet stove on for a couple hours to.
Yeah, And really, that's not the way you're supposed to operate a heat pump. You're supposed to leave it on all the time. You can set it back temperature-wise, but if you shut it off, it will depending on the sizing, it will struggle to catch up, depending on the heat load and how big the building is and what the temperature outside is. They do best in this sweet spot of freezing and above, and that's the average for the state of Maine. Last week when it was earlier last week when it was a lot colder is not necessarily the best place to be using the heat pump, but it's not, it did maintain. But again, normally you would leave it on all the time. The nice thing about the unit we have, and maybe other ones do it too, is it tells you how many kilowatt hours you're running on a daily basis, a weekly basis, monthly basis. And we are not into it much. And we've used it for most days.
The whole reason we got it was because when we run the pellet stove, it's a small space, so the pellet stove will overheat the space by lunchtime. Turn the pellet stove off, open and close the door four times, and then it's cold again. So what do? Turn the stove back on? So on an average cold winter day, we would start with the pellet stove around 11 or 12, shut it off, and then use the heat pump in the afternoon to maintain. That way everything's nice and comfortable. We're not sweltering, but we're also not shivering.
Right. So the what we're doing in the house that we're working on is, there was a kerosene heater in the kitchen, which I took out and put it in the garage. I may use it or I may sell it. I'm not sure. I'd use it in the garage if I was going to use it. And we have a pellet stove that was in the office that was way too big, and we'll probably set that up in the kitchen where the kerosene heater was for the rest of the winter, and then get a wood stove in at some point. And I've been looking at wood stoves and they scare me price wise. If you're getting a new one, one thing I did spot, I was in, we were in Martin's the other day in Brewer, and they had a couple of wood stoves. And I want to tell you, those suckers were huge. I think it was $1,000, which is a cheap date for a wood stove these days. And I don't remember the brand. There was a brand name on it. It wasn't like Wang Chung or something like that. It was an American. Yeah,
the brand also sells fire insurance.
They might. Anyway, hey, we only got a couple minutes left. We got some cars out this week, huh?
Yeah, a bunch of stuff sold.
A lot of stuff.
And let me peer out the window here. Oh, we got a new Corolla out.
Yeah.
It's a 2013. It's blue. I forget the miles on it, but I know they were low. Under 130, I believe.
Yeah, yep.
And I think that was $89.95, something like that. Good Corolla price, good Corolla miles, good Corollas are just dull.
Nice car.
Dull cars that just constantly run. And there's something about Corollas that they've got, they've got just the right size and torque for snow. Whenever it snows and I got all the cars out back and I'm pulling them out front, something about the Corollas, and I always cheer and I hear Motley Crue playing in my head when they go tearing through the snow. I don't go ramming and doing donuts and crap, but I'm saying they just go through it. They don't spin out and get stuck or anything. We got two cars in that are going to be out for sale shortly, which normally I don't talk about those, but I will. We've got a 2015 Toyota Yaris. It's an LE. It's the five-door hatchback. That's the one everybody wants. I swear to you, if this car was higher mileage, I would buy this. It wouldn't even be out for sale. And that's no schlock. It's got 136,000 miles. I like to go a little bit higher with my mileage than that. It's $8,500. And what needed new front struts. It's got studded snows on it, so it's ready to go for the rest of winter. Hmm. Fresh oil, fresh state inspection, $8,500 plus tax, so you're $89.96 out the door. For a 15 Yaris hat, the last Yaris five-door hatchback we had was out for like 3 days.
Yeah.
And that lady was tickled with it. And I should have bought that one.
Yeah, she was head over heels on that car. She just loved it.
Well, she loved it, and then she came back for something. It was something stupid, like the, I don't know, we had to check something. And she was going on and on about how much she loved it, after she'd been driving around for a week or so. And then the other one we just got in, and this one will be out probably, I'll say mid to end of next week, is a 2015 Toyota RAV4 with 154,000 miles on it. I sold my car last week. So I took that one to the grocery store, and I was very impressed with that RAV. That's, I mean, you can just feel it, that it's solid. I don't think it's going to need a